Hello and welcome to
Ghost Speak,
a horror podcast. I'm Todd, joined by my wife Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi.
I still fucking hate that. I need to find something else.
I was laughing because when you like lean back, Aries leaned back at the same time.
Okay. It's not. We don't need to reveal my secrets.
Okay. We'll cut that.
We watch Maxine. This came out, well, it came out in 2024 because it came out like 3 days ago. Directed by Ty West, of course. It's the third in this trilogy with X, Pearl, and now Maxine. I love these movies very much. I guess I'll say right out the gate because I don't really know how you feel. We kind of saved talking about it until now. I think this one, I don't think I liked it as much as X or Pearl. But I think it's like, it's still right up. Jesus.
So it's still right up there. Go get your food.
But it's still right up there. I mean, how do you feel about it?
I don't like it as much as X or Pearl.
Yeah.
But I honestly, I don't know if I could say it's right up there. I think it's kind of underwhelmed. Yeah.
Interesting. I have seen like there's been, because this has probably been like my most anticipated movie. Like, I had a lot of hype for this one.
Me too.
And it's because I fucking love X and Pearl. And more than that, I mean, I love the movies. I love Ty West. Mm-hmm. More than all that, though, I just love what he's doing with these movies. You know, the way he's exploring the characters and the themes across these different movies that are related in like all these interesting ways. And more than that, it's the way that each movie is so different. That's the thing is, like, I can understand people being more disappointed in this one. Here's where I push back. I think that what's so interesting is X is very much like it's a slasher. You know, it's styled like the 70s Texas Chainsaw type slasher. Pearl is like this Technicolor nightmare. Like, you know, it's like The Wizard of Oz, but a horror movie. And this one, taking place in the 80s, I think I was expecting, because I'd heard very little about it, and I'm not going to spoil anything just yet, but I heard about, you know, it's about this guy, the Night Stalker, who's stalking her in the city, and I thought it was going to be like this 80s slasher thing, but that's not what it is. It's like an 80s crime thriller, basically.
No, I totally get that.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I wasn't really expecting going into it. I'm not the biggest fan of like 80s crime thrillers.
No, me either.
But I think they just fucking nail. I mean, it's like the other movies, like everything from the look, the editing, the style of the acting and the filmmaking. Like it is perfectly recreating that kind of movie.
Yeah, no, I completely
super
agree.
Impressive. It's straight to, it's like front to back. That's what it is. You know?
I completely agree, and I do think Ty West is becoming like a master of decades. Like he gets it. He puts together, like you said, the editing and like the set design. Everything is working, but it's also not working.
Really?
Yeah. It fell short for me on this one.
Okay, I guess we'll get to that. Honestly, the biggest real complaint that I have outside of, you know, that whole expectations versus reality part of it, I don't think Mia Goth gets enough to do in this movie.
Oh,
honestly,
no. especially after Pearl. Yeah, that was going to be one of my points too. She was not as crazy. Like she didn't get to do her thing or something in here.
There are definitely a couple good parts.
Yeah, well,
which we'll get to when we talk spoilers. But I do think I was waiting for like, you know, like the fucking monologue in Pearl. You know, or
just the ending scene of Pearl in general, the amount of crazy happening in that scene, we don't get that again.
And I think that's one of the things I was worried about is because Mia Goth had a writing credit on Pearl, and I noticed that she didn't have a writing credit on this one. So going into it, I was kind of like, ooh, I don't know, because that felt like a big part of Pearl. And I think it's missed here. I don't really know what her involvement was behind the scenes in either movie, you know, like what the difference is. But it does feel like she wasn't fully utilized because Mia Goth is such an integral part of these movies. Like there's no question. Like Ty West is a fucking genius. I love Ty West. But Mia Goth is like just as important to these movies.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I don't think she had enough to do in this one.
No.
So that was definitely my biggest disappointment in this. But I still think overall, like, it all worked. And I mean, we'll go way more into it in spoilers, because I think the stuff I really want to say is gonna spoil a lot of shit. But I think if you go into it knowing the type of movie that this is, I think that helps a lot. We've talked a lot before about, you know, going in blind. I was trying to go in blind because I love these movies so much, and it means that, yeah, it didn't really deliver what I was expecting. So I think it's worth just knowing that much about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the movie is still, like, it's still beautiful. It captures this era perfectly. There's so many little details all over the place that, like, they just make it clear, like, they know what they're making exactly. And it's not like some little set dressing, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like you're in fucking LA in the 80s.
Well, yeah. And I think had this movie not had that, like the other movies, because they nail it in X and Pearl, you get the decade down.
Mm-hmm.
It really would have been a huge letdown if somehow they hadn't gotten the 80s stuff right. Because they got the, like,
it's kind of bare minimum.
Grungy LA alleyways with the smoke and stuff. And, you know, and the editing is super 80s too, which is. The
soundtrack, all that stuff is nailed perfectly. And yeah, and I mean, and the story overall, I think the main thing people know is it's all about, you know, there's a serial killer called the Night Stalker who's preying on women in LA, like, you know, sex workers and stuff. And Maxine, meanwhile, this is like her big break after X, because she's the only survivor from X, right? So she kind of flees from that to LA to really make it. And I did really like how they portray her as it's not just that she is really special and has like this, you know, magical whatever.
X factor.
This X factor, which she does.
She does.
But it's also like she fucking works her ass off. Like, I like that the way they portray that in this, that she is just like a hardcore working actress. And that's a big part of the movie, is her trying to break out of the adult entertainment field and go into actual, like, real deal acting with like a sequel to some like shitty horror movie, basically.
Yeah.
So it does pick up. I mean, it's been like, how many years has it been since X at this point? It's been a while, because they do make a point that she's like in her early 30s and she's really realizing like it's now or never.
Yeah.
And I think thematically that works into it too, because the other movies are so much about legacy and getting old, and they really play into the idea that, like, look, you only got one shot, you know, and you can't fuck it up, or that's it.
Yeah, if you're a woman in your 30s, especially in 1989, you are just ancient.
Especially if you're trying to be an actress. Yes. Yeah. And it is an interesting thing when you look at Pearl, who tried to make it big and she didn't make it, and wound up living this life, you know, on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
And you see what happened. She became a fucking psycho killer.
Well, she always was.
Well,
to be fair.
Okay. But now we're seeing kind of the other side of the coin with Maxine, somebody who, because with Pearl, I mean, she does like that one audition and that just fucking breaks her, you know? And Maxine, meanwhile, is like, no, she's fucking working hard to make this happen. And I guess there is something to be said about that. They're like, yeah, this stuff doesn't just happen to you. Even if you are like, you know, that one in a million special person, as our cat is tip-tapping around on the table. What are you doing?
He's looking for that butter.
Get down. What was I saying?
You were talking about like, how she's working hard. Like, she has something special, but...
Yeah, it's like, it's not enough. Like, you got to be willing to put the work in. And Aries, what in the world? Is there food on there? Hey.
Yes, there is. Hey.
Fuck.
Aries. It is a biscuit.
But it's cool that we get to see. I mean, it's the perfect way to end the trilogy, to see where this all ends up. And that's, I think together these three movies make a really nice package. I mean, we just got done talking about the fourth Hell House LLC movie, where it's just basically like the same formula over and over and over again. And I fucking love that these three movies are so different, but they're connected by all these little themes and ideas. And it tells this one big story that is just fascinating. It works so well for me. I'm so happy this exists. And I know you said you were more disappointed.
Yeah.
Like, is there anything you can say right now about, like...
Probably not without getting into spoilers, but... Mm. I mean, obviously it was worth the watch.
Yeah.
I still liked it. You know, it was okay. I think there's just, like... Honestly, there's, like, an X factor missing.
Oh, boy.
In this film. I do. I think something got lost. I don't know. I can't get into it without... Like, okay. I'm done. Like, I need to go to spoilers.
Let's go to spoilers. So let's get right into it. What is it that kind of let you down in this movie?
Okay. The kills were good.
Yeah.
I feel like there could have been more push.
Yeah.
The fact that the first two movies are slashers. Like,
yeah.
Hands down, they're slashers. This one is not
a
slasher. And I could be okay with that had I not been expecting another slasher.
I get you.
I definitely was looking forward. Like, there were these, I don't know if they were fan-made, but I did see posters of, like, a chainsaw or something. And it's like, what the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Man, you can't trust any of that shit online anymore. You know how many times I've looked up a trailer for something, and I'm like, oh shit, there's a trailer for this? And it's like some fan edit thing. It's like, what are we doing?
I think I just got really excited for Mia Goth to go crazy. In this one, I thought she was going to, like, top it out crazy. Yeah. And that honestly didn't really come.
I think her performance did feel a lot more toned down.
I don't even think it's Mia Goth's fault. Feel like it's
she wasn't, like, given a lot to work with.
Yeah, I don't know. I got so excited in the beginning. Things were, like, really, like, I was really getting built up. And then... kind of almost immediately, it already started to let me down. Mm. I was like, okay, this is not going to be what I thought it was going to be. Okay. Let's move on from it. But
for me, yeah, I'll say the parts that, like, really stood out to me that I really fucking liked. First, it's like it's almost like they set this up really early. So it's like, oh, hell yeah, let's see more of this shit. And it doesn't really happen. But it's the part when she sits down to audition for the horror movie. It's like... they're basically like, all right, you know, we want you to go through this. And she's like, I already know my lines. You're watching it just like, oh, you know, she's going to knock this shit out of the fucking park. And she does. So that was, like, really cool and effective. And, like, that's her, like, proving herself.
It calls back to Pearl's audition. And then when she leaves, she has all this confidence. And she's like, y'all better go home because I nailed it.
Oh, that's the other thing. There are still a lot of ways that it ties to the movies. Some of them, I think, work better than the others. I'll get to that. But that's one of the things is, it's like it's a mirror of that audition, except and it goes very similarly, except this one goes a lot better than the Pearl audition.
Yes.
Even though it's so funny that after that knockout fucking performance, they're like, all right, now I'll take your shirt off. And she's just like, okay.
Yeah. That's Hollywood in the...
Well, that's... I think the movie still does a really good job with... because all these movies really go into the exploitive nature of all this. And I think this movie, it does bring those themes home in a really good way. And I think that's a part of the ending that also works for me, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. The other scene I really loved early on is there's this kind of fake out scene where she's being stalked by somebody and you think it's the Night Stalker, you know, stalking another victim. We should say this movie really plays into, like, the satanic panic stuff of the 80s. You know, like, that's definitely a big part of the aesthetic here. But yeah, she's stalked down an alley and there's this twist where she basically reveals that she was, like, luring him in and then just pulls a gun on him and stomps his fucking balls. And that was pretty fucking brutal.
I don't know if she was luring him in.
Oh, I think she was. Really? Because did you notice how she was?
Of course she would.
Well, she was. Well, it's because what? What does that mean? Because she's freaking out, like, shaking the gate, and then when he gets up close to her, she just instantly pulls her gun out and is like ice cold. Like yeah. she just like she was luring him to get close, I think.
I think she was luring him to get close. I think for me, I feel like that was like adrenaline. Like she and she's an actress. Mm-hmm. She could like compose herself and be like, I'm taking control of the situation.
I guess. It just felt like from the beginning she had that shit under control.
Well, yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yes. But that scene was great. She smashed the fuck out of his balls.
Yeah.
That was pretty graphic. Again, exploring all these themes, you know, you have the Night Stalker, which plays into the satanic panic because the women that are turning up have like satanic symbols burned into them, you know. But then they also build up this idea that these sex workers are being lured into like the Hollywood hills and killed by like the Hollywood elite. You know, it's like it's really playing with a lot of that stuff. The reveal, which is like it is the ultimate like cheesy 80s crime thriller ending, is the pastor, which you saw on the TV in X. I think we even talked about it in that episode. Who's like preaching how the world's going to shit.
A life I did not deserve.
Yes. It's revealed that that's her dad. And the way they kind of drive those themes home is that her dad is trying to get his hands on her because he feels like he lost her to the devil and wants to like bring her back to the light. And his way of doing that is to counter, you know, the idea that she was exploited by Hollywood. He's planning on exploiting her in his own movie, showing her like repenting and coming back to him and all this stuff. And it just, it works on a lot of levels and has like the big Hollywood like shootout literally in the Hollywood hills at the end there. That's where I can really understand the disappointment, because that stuff, I just don't think it's as cool as like the X and Pearl.
Well, I think fair enough to the theme, in the 80s, little cop shootout things were very popular. Yeah. I think now people just don't give a shit.
I think that's what I'm getting at, is that like it works so well to capture what they're trying to capture, but it just isn't that interesting to me.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's not that interesting to me either.
I think it's something that works. It works really well when you're analyzing it, but it's just not, it's not the movie I wanted.
No, it's not the movie I wanted either. Yeah. I will say the things that I normally like are always top tier priority for me in a movie is the aesthetic and art direction and stuff. And all that stuff is great.
Yeah.
I mean, all that. The colors were still very 80s, still worked.
Yeah.
Wardrobe was all perfect.
Check.
The set design was also perfect.
Yep.
You know, like, it did all the things. Mm-hmm. It just, I guess, maybe it's some of the execution and the story that just really didn't, it kind of fell flat.
I think I'm realizing as I'm talking about, like, I think the execution was still phenomenal. I think it's just, It's that like everything, it checks all the boxes, it does everything right, and it's just not what I wanted from it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the best way I can put it. So it's like, I really appreciate this movie, especially as part of this trilogy. But on its own, it's like, yeah, it's definitely not my favorite of these three.
Yeah, in these three movies, this one is definitely my least favorite.
Yeah.
But I mean, I still enjoyed it. It's not like I regret ever watching X and Pearl.
Well,
you know?
Of course
like,
not.
I still love those movies. I'll still watch them again. To be honest, I don't know if, I mean, I guess I'd watch this movie again, but I don't have as much excitement as I do. Like, I will watch X again. I will watch Pearl again. Yeah.
I will say there are definitely some really cool scenes though. Like, I think the real standouts for me were so the private detective that's played by Kevin Bacon does a great fucking job. There's a lot of cool scenes, like the part when he's like intimidating the shit out of her, and then when she catches stalking her, she just fucking whips his ass.
Yeah, that was great. That was really great. The way she puts her keys into her hands, I thought that was a interesting way to like show self-defense methods of women. Like, that's like a common way of like, if you're out in a parking lot late at night or something and you have to walk to your car alone, put your keys between your fingers, so you have a little extra power behind you. I thought that was, with the themes of the movie being, you know, sexual exploitation and stuff like that, I thought it was interesting to include that, even though, well, I mean, she was punching out someone who was stalking her. Yeah, I thought that that was a cool way to show that.
Yeah, it works. She fucks him up.
That's right. As she should.
Yeah. And then the way that turns into him trying to, like, take the power back and pursue her, and she just leads him into a fucking trap where he gets crushed. That part was fucking crazy.
That was crazy.
Because I thought, because they handcuff him to his car and put him in, like, a trash compactor. And I thought they were going to... Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
A car compactor, yes. I thought they were going to, like, stop it at the last minute and try to, like, you know, interrogate him and figure out who he works for. No, they just watch him slowly get crushed to death. Yeah. And that was pretty fucking brutal.
Yeah, the amount of blood that comes out is great.
I mean, we are basically just big bags of blood, so it makes sense. So that part was super cool. I also really liked when they were making the what's it called, the life mask?
Oh, yeah.
When for
life cast.
The life cast for the movie that she's starring in, the horror movie. And she has this, like, freak out moment where she's remembering what happened, like, the trauma from X.
Yeah, she's probably freaking out because her artist left the room and didn't give her anything to breathe through.
Yeah.
That was driving me
nuts.
Funny. I was like, oh my God.
That was the first thing you said, because you've worked in special effects. And yeah, that makes sense. Like, why would you just walk away from somebody?
Yeah, no, you don't do that. Okay. They're going to die. Like, if they freak out or they need water or something, like, they have to give you, like, a signal.
Listen, the 80s, we were just, you know, freeballing, figuring out as we went. You know, you wouldn't understand.
No, they definitely, and I know they knew that in the 80s.
But yeah, that was a cool scene. It was really effective. And I liked the whole idea that, you know, what happened in X was, like, kind of catching up to her, that she was, like, constantly running from that. And it became this thing that, like, could potentially ruin her chances of actually, like, making it. Like, she had this opportunity to finally make it. And this thing from the past was, like, it was this obstacle that could have ruined everything.
Yeah, I do like the callback to where the director told her, it's like, hey, squash it. And then she literally squashes him.
Yeah, and I think the way it wraps up too, because at the very end, as she's, like, holding a shotgun to her dad, she kind of fantasizes about this future, which I also thought thematically worked super well, because it's like, it's this idea that for her to make it, even though she is, like, she is incredibly talented, even though she's working her ass off, it's like you still need this extra layer of, like, drama that makes headlines, you know, with her killing her father, who was this killer.
Yeah.
Because that's the whole thing, is they're, it's like you said, they're trying to imitate the Night Stalker murders to kill these women to, like, combat sin or some fucking weird religious shit. And it's like, yeah, that's kind of what it takes, because she fantasizes in that moment about being on talk shows and, like, you know,
walking the red carpet.
Yeah, and, like, selling her life story and all this stuff. It's like, that's the only thing she could think of in this moment, is, like, how this can help her be successful and achieve her dreams. It is nice that it ends with her. I mean, it's like, it's the sequel to a movie called The Puritan.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not exactly a Hollywood blockbuster, but she gets, like, promoted to being, like, the lead actress, I guess. Yeah. So, hey, she made it. And that's it's kind of the best that she can hope for, I guess.
Yeah. And at the end, they call back to her life cast and have her little dismembered head.
Yeah. But yeah, as far as, like, how it ties to the other movies, the one that I really wanted to talk about, because when we watched those movies, there were all these interesting things between them that I was wondering, like, how are they going to bring this back for a movie that's in the 80s in the city? And the way they do it is, like, you know, they bring back the gator by, like, there's just a movie playing on a TV with, like, a killer alligator. And I was like, okay, that's a nice callback, but, like, come on, man. Like, I wanted to see the gator come back and kill somebody.
I wanted, you know, that composition to come back. There was a lot of compositional, like, iconic moments in X and Pearl that you can literally look at the screen caps and, like, it matches perfectly. And honestly, I think I had a lot more faith that those moments were going to happen and they didn't happen. And that also was a letdown because I literally for the thumbnail for X and Pearl, I did for this. I did where she's doing the because the
shush motion.
Yeah, I had enough like confidence in Ty West that, oh, she'll do it again. And then, you know.
Were you looking for that? Did she do that in this?
She didn't do it. I don't think so. And like I kept trying to like pull back in my memory. Like, did I miss it?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's like snuck in there somewhere. Because they also, they had like the duck comes back because it's that big porcelain thing that she stores her Coke in. Mm-hmm. It's like there's, I mean, those things are like, they're fun. I'm glad that they're making those nods, but.
That was a lot of Coke, too. Well, it's like a bowl.
Yeah. I mean, shit, you work as hard as she does. You need a lot of fucking cocaine. But it did feel like, I don't want to call it lazy. I don't like calling anything lazy when it's a movie of this caliber. But it did feel like, I don't know, there wasn't enough thought put into that for me, you know?
Yeah, I think I was really looking forward to those compositional like callbacks, and they really just weren't there. I mean, it kind of was there with the audition, like they were, all the ladies were lined up in a similar way.
That part, you know? I mean, that whole audition, I think, worked super well. That was a good way to open the movie. I would be interested, I think if we watch the three of these close together, we'll probably be able to pick out more.
Yeah.
Because that was the thing. The first time that I saw X and Pearl, I didn't notice as many of the similarities as I did when we rewatched them. It was like, oh, shit. Like, I think there's probably a lot more that we're missing. But, I want to check it out again at some point. We could take some time and let it simmer a little. But I don't know. Is there anything else you want to talk about? We can shout out Giancarlo Esposito. Mm. I think that's his name.
Yeah, he was really fun. I mean, he's
always great, man.
Yeah.
He's in Abigail. He's popping up all over the fucking place.
Yeah. He's my favorite villain.
Well, he's great because, you know, a character like that, because he's their agent, it's like, especially in movies that are so much about exploitation in this industry, I think there's like a read where it's like, oh, is he just kind of taking advantage of her? Is he going to fuck her over in some way? And like, no, he helps her kidnap Kevin Bacon's character and crush him in a fucking car compactor. So it's like, okay, dude. Okay. That's all I got. You can go to ghostbeast.com for all our links. You can also search for Ghost Beast Pod on social platforms and follow Ghost Beast on Letterboxd. Make sure you like and subscribe and review and blah, blah, blah. Please. You always try to remind me to say that.
Yes. Please give us 5 stars if you like us and write a little thing. Please.
Yeah. So anyway, on Letterboxd, we rank all the movies that we cover. Might be more controversial because I think we both feel like pretty differently about this one. So I put it above No One Will Save You and under Psycho. How do you feel?
You know what? I don't know if you're going to like this, but I think you could move it down a couple of spots because I think Color of Space is better.
Okay.
And I like maybe above The Conference.
I think that works.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll compromise. It's number 10. It's below Color Out of Space, above The Conference. That feels right. Sure.
I could put it probably a little lower, but I'm not going to.
This is the compromise. All right. But you can message us at podcast@ghostbeast.com. Maybe if you've seen this and you noticed other references that we missed, I'd love to hear it. And I'm too lazy to look it up. So, bye.
Look up what?